Welcome to episode 6 of season 5. Victims of Fun. I'm your host, El Stevo. And today we are broadcasting. Well, not broadcasting, podcasting. We are podcasting from a nice little Italian restaurant here in Central Florida. Very cozy, very nice. Hear probably some chatter in the background and stuff like that. It's not bad. There's supposed to be some music later. But anyway, this is episode 6, I think I said, right? I lose track. This is episode 6. So, just remember, sorry, I have some antipasta here. So, you can remember, Victims of Fun is brought to you exclusively by me. We've got our blue Yeti Snowball microphone, our Seagate SSD drive, and of course our Apple MacBook M1 Air. And Victims of Fun is made exclusively on Anchor. It's available on Anchor FM, Spotify, Pandora, and a lot of other wonderful podcasting hosts. You can mail me at victimsoffun@mail.com. Send me your love, send me your hate. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook by just searching for Victims of Fun, and you'll see the logo. The logo's got the microphone in it, yellow lettering, blah, blah, blah. And you follow me. And you can hit that support button and start sending me some cash, and I've noticed nobody's done that yet. I'm starting to get a little frustrated. You people just gotta start sending me money. And, you really, really need to start sending me money. Because, there's a couple things I want to buy. And, one of the things I want to buy is this wonderful pair of headphones from Blue. Blue are the people who make the microphones, for Victims of Fun. And they make microphones. They have, Blue is pretty much considered the best microphone maker, on the planet. Most of your high-end studios and professional production companies and everything use Blue microphones. Now, they don't use this one. They use microphones that cost several thousand dollars because, you know, they're recording professional-grade stuff. And, of course, obviously, if I had a microphone like that, it would be overkill on this and blow my budget out of the park. But even their basic and, you know, microphones are fantastic. They have the industry standard. They are wonderful. Reliable, easy to use, dependable, fantastic sound. Make you sound 100 times better than you actually are. And no, this is not paid advertising. I'm a big Blue supporter here. And so Blue also makes headphones. And they have this headphone called the Ella. It is the Blue Ella. And, you know, Blue has been making headphones too for quite a long time. And the Blue Ella is pretty much the gold standard of headphones around today. They are planar magnetic headphones with a built-in audiophile amp. Literally, these are the greatest headphones on the face of the planet. The sound reproduction, the subtle nuances in the music that you hear. You put them on and you're going to hear parts of a song that you've known for so long. And you say, wait a minute, I never heard that in the song before. It's because you've been listening on crappy headphones. The construction, it's all metal. The design was inspired by headphones for Formula One racing. How can I describe it? If you ever watch Formula One racing, you see the headphones that the crews and everybody are using. That is the design of this headphone. They've got 50mm by 50mm drivers. The planar membrane, it's less than 50 microns thin, and it's self-tensioned for fast response and extreme accuracy. it's a over the ear, not on the ear, so it makes a complete seal on your ear. And each Ella is handmade. So basically, when you order one, they make it. It's got a 250 milliwatt Audiophile amp built in, and they've got custom proprietary drivers. I'd show you a picture, but you know, this is not a Twitch stream. This is Google Blue Ella headphones. So anyway, these Blue Ella headphones, I want these, okay? And you're going to pay for it because they're $699. And so what I need for you guys to do is start sending me money, so in a couple months I can buy these things. Because it would help out the podcast, obviously. And they would go great with this new gadget I have, which I told you I was going to order this thing from Japan, and it is a Sony NW-A55H. It is a Walkman. It's, you know, you remember the Walkman with the cassette tapes and everything? Well, the, you know, Walkmans now are digital. And the Sony NW-A55 is considered the gold standard of digital Walkman players. Oh, look, I have a fan messaging me. Oh, it's just my friend Melanie. Anyway, so it's considered the gold standard of digital Walkman. And they're very, very hard to get in the United States of America because, you know, the whole chip shortage thing that's going on and stuff, and Sony never has any, and if they do, you gotta wait weeks to get it. So what I did was I went on eBay, and I bought the Japanese spec'd one. Different regions have different specs depending on, I'm sure there's reasons for it. Sound amplification, a couple features here and there, and all that. So the one I bought is like a reddish orange, which is not available in the United States. And it's, you know, it's got the little Japanese writing on the back of it and everything, indicating that it is, in fact, a Japanese model. And this model is only available in the Japanese market. So I had it imported in. And it comes in the Japanese language. Now, Sony said that the Japanese market NW-A55, the language cannot be changed. It's stuck in Japanese, and which is fine, but I want it in English because reading Japanese was never my strong point. You know, I could understand it, speak it a bit, reading it, I can't figure out those symbols. You know, I mean, a lot of stuff's marked in English unless you're going out into like the really rural areas. But after a while, you can kind of figure out, okay, this means that, you know, type of thing. Almost like learning it phonetically. So, I should have bought the damn thing when I lived over there. But anyway, so I had imported him. And I did some digging and some help from people on Reddit and on the internet. I found that there's a website you can go to where they have a program where you can change the region of your Sony Walkman NW-A55H, and you can change the region to there. I mean, apparently electronics are broken down into regions around the world, Canada, US, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, wherever. And when you change the region, some features become not available and some new features become available. I don't know the reasoning behind it. I don't know if it's legal, you know, why the unit in one market would have features that it wouldn't have in a different market. I don't know what goes on with that, whatever. So this little program, you put it on your PC, you connect this thing to your, you connect the Walkman to your PC. You got to turn on the program. And you go in and you change a region in the United States, you do a quick reset of the device, and now everything's in English. But the great thing is that it retains all of its Japanese features, as far as the extra stuff that was put on the unit for the Japanese market carries over to here, And I get all the American features. And it's in English. So, ta-da! There you go. I have a Japanese spec device that displays all the languages and everything in English now. I can fool around with the sound settings and everything else, but the sound on this thing, it's pretty much been judged as the best digital player on the planet. You know, better than anything Apple put out, better than anything Samsung, but this is it. And I figured that these headphones mated to this thing would just be incredible. Because I had a, you know, I have an iPhone 10, and I had an iPod, and it was like the iPod fourth generation, and just, you know, it's old, it's got a crack in it, it doesn't Bluetooth anymore, and it's just, it's difficult, the sound management hooked up to the, I have a Chevy, so I have that Chevy MyLink thing, where you can plug your Apple product in, and Apple CarPlay comes up, or you can, you know, scroll through the music, and the iPod, just getting it to function the way it's supposed to function, as far as, you know, I don't want you to just play the songs I listen to the most. I want to hear all of them. I got to put it in shuffle mode. It doesn't do it automatically. Okay, this thing will. The only thing is you have to hook it up with the cable, because it doesn't, being a Japanese spec, it won't Bluetooth to my Chevy Bluetooth system on my tracks. My little SUV, and it won't actually do it. So, no big deal. I don't care. You know, it's why I have Sirius XM. But, you know, I'd like to listen to it. And, so you need to send me money so I can buy these headphones. But, yeah. So that's my plug for Blue this week. So, I want to talk about, something. You know, I'm a big Godzilla fan. I remember growing up, my dad and I would sit there and watch Godzilla. And I was always into it. I had the Shogun Warrior Godzilla with the flying fist and the flame coming out of his mouth. You know, I've always been into it. You know, I got all the Japanese spec Godzilla DVDs, and you know, I got a lot of Godzilla stuff I brought back with me, and you know, it's great. I love it. And so, the natural progression with Godzilla, because, you know, Tokyo, Toho Studios, always looking to branch out and make money off Godzilla. For the first time, they went into animated Godzilla. And so there was an anime trilogy that aired on Netflix a couple years ago. And it was a trilogy, Godzilla. And the anime trilogy takes place in, I guess, you know how the Marvel Extended Universe is, or the DC Extended Universe, where you'll have a movie that takes place in the same universe, but a different multiverse or a different timeline type of thing. It's how they can get away with having a Joker movie that's got nothing to do with the Justice League, because it takes place in its own little bubble. So the anime trilogy of Godzilla did this. And there's three of them. They aired on Netflix. And they were some of the best written anything I've ever seen. It got very, very deep. Not just for a Godzilla movie, but for any type of movie. It was very deep. It touched on a lot of religious themes and philosophical themes and sacrifices that you have to make to ensure that your people survive. And, you know, what are you prepared to do to ensure that life goes on? And, you know, what will you do when you're desperate and there's nothing else to do? And it touched on a lot of themes that, you know, usually Godzilla movies are just, there's Godzilla, he smashes stuff, another monster shows up, they fight, and there you go. But this touched on so many different, it was very deep, and the monster designs of Godzilla and the, not to spoil too much, but Godzilla in this anime trilogy is called Godzilla Earth, and he's like the biggest Godzilla they've ever had. He's something like 300 meters tall, which is almost 1,000 feet tall. That's why he's called Godzilla Earth, because he's as big as the planet, basically. And he's just an incredibly godlike, just unstoppable force of nature thing. There's Mechagodzilla, but not in a way that you would think. than Mechagodzilla would be, because Mechagodzilla was just like the robot version of Godzilla, but in this movie he's something I can't, I'm not even gonna spoil for you. I can't even, let's just say it's the way Mechagodzilla is, I don't think I could have come up with this in 1,000 years. And then King Ghidorah, who is the three-headed monster. If you saw Godzilla King of the Monsters, the American one, Ghidorah is the three-headed monster. And for anybody who doesn't know anything about the Japanese Godzilla movies, Ghidorah is considered Godzilla's greatest foe. He's the big one. Godzilla usually, 9 times out of 10, always needs help killing or beating Ghidorah, because Ghidorah is just so insanely overpowered and bigger than Godzilla, you know, type of thing. And the way Ghidorah is introduced and portrayed in this film, you could have sat the best screenwriters in the planet in a room for a year and said, come up with a way to portray King Ghidorah you've never seen him before, in a way that nobody's ever seen. They would not have come up with the way they did this. And it's, so the anime trilogy that was on Netflix was just one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Flash forward to this year, there's another Godzilla anime, and when it was announced, it was called Godzilla Singular Point, and it again takes place in its own universe, like the Joker or the new Batman movie. It takes place in its own universe, has nothing to do with anything else, kind of like Venom. Venom is one of Spider-Man's best enemies, but he's nowhere in the Marvel Universe. He just, the Venom movies are their own thing. So Godzilla Singular Point is its own thing. And the whole backstory of Godzilla is just gone. In Godzilla Singular Point, they've never seen, heard of, or even know what the hell Godzilla is until Singular Point takes off. So there's no, it's kind of a reboot, but it's not a continuation. Like, most Godzilla films acknowledge the previous ones, and if they don't, they always acknowledge the original 1954 version. The only one it didn't was Shin Gojira, though the latest one from Japan that won 12 of their Academy Awards, including Best Picture, which had never happened before with a giant monster movie, but that movie's a work of art. Terrence Malick could have directed it. That was the only film that never referenced the 54 Godzilla. In Shin Gojira, it's the first time anybody's ever seen him. Well, the other Godzilla movies, Final Wars, everything else, they've dealt with him before. They may skip everything in the middle, but they always go back to 1954. So, Godzilla Singular Point, they've never heard of Godzilla. They don't know what he is. They don't know what giant monsters are. They're just living their lives, and it's a 13-part series, about a half hour long, animated. And I thought My Ex-Girlfriend was a convoluted hot mess of disaster, but this Godzilla Singular Points makes her look sane. The animation in it is beautiful. It really is. The music is definitely on par. They use the classic monster roars from what's called the Showa era, which is like the 70s Godzilla movies. So they're using the classic Godzilla roars. They don't even do that in the American ones. They have versions of them. But in this one, it's basically the actual roars from the 1970s. So it's such a, I have never seen a movie that takes so much scientific bullshit, gobbledygook. When I go to a movie and it's a science fiction film, or, you know, something that's got science in it, they don't get quite right. Whenever you go to any movie, you suspend your disbelief. You have to. It's like going to see pro wrestling. You know it's all predetermined. But yeah, you suspend your belief in reality because you want to be entertained, and that's what you have to do. Godzilla Singular Point makes it so impossible to suspend that reality because the science and what they're explaining and what's going on is so convoluted, makes such, it's such nonsensical bullshit. It does, it's not based in any sort of reality at all. Some of the worst science fiction movies I ever saw, their science at least made an attempt or had examples of real science in it. The Black Hole, one of my favorite movies of all time. Disney, 1979. Maximilian Schell, Anthony Perkins, Frederick Forrest. It's a movie about a black hole. Maximilian Schell is on the big ship. They're orbiting a black hole, and then the little ship comes along. It's great. It's a great movie. Very philosophical. The ending is like 2001 Space Odyssey. But when you see the film, the black hole literally is this twirling hole in space that's actually moving with lights going around it, almost like a cosmic whirlpool. Black holes don't look like that. Black holes don't look like anything because there's no light. Because light just goes in the black hole. It's just nothing. Okay. They had to do that because it wouldn't look on screen. Like, there's the black hole. Where? Because you would never see it. But at least the description of the black hole and the science behind it, the event horizon and the gravity and everything else, that was realistic. Everything else was just like, we got to get this movie going somehow, so we have to show the black hole, and we have to do a whole bunch of other things. So, Alien. Fantastic movie. Pretty scientifically accurate, except for the fact that the ship had gravity, and it shouldn't. The Nostromo, the ship they were on, had gravity. Where's the gravity coming from? It's like Star Wars. How the Millennium Falcon have gravity? Well, it has a gravity generator. Well, how does that work? They never explain it. In Alien, they avoided that problem by never mentioning it. In Star Wars, they made a couple references to, oh, the gravity generator's gone down, we're going to lose gravity. And in Alien, they never did. So sometimes you have to take liberties to make a film work, because films are not supposed to be 100% accurate. You do have some accurate science fiction movies. Gravity tried to be as 100% accurate as it could be, and even that got a couple things wrong because they had to make it work for the movie. But that was probably one of the, if not the most scientifically accurate space movie that they've ever filmed. Anyway, so back to Singular Point. So the technobabble insane. I said this on Reddit. I said this Singular Point was the equivalent of giving Hunter S. Thompson a physics book, all the acid he could drop, and giving him a month to come up with a 13-part Godzilla story and tell him he could write whatever he want. He would have written this. Because it just makes so much nonsense. There's 6 or 7 different plot lines all going on at the same time that have nothing to do with each other. The science in it is just, the Singular Point is some sort of event that may or may not happen, that a super calculator that was built in the future but built in the past at the same time can allow you to see that there's a catastrophe coming to Earth. But it doesn't precisely tell you when, and it's just, wait a minute. And they're like, well, we need the code to turn on the calculator. Well, the code hasn't been written yet. Well, how'd they turn it on the first time? Well, the code was sent from the future. So somebody sent the code from the future to turn the calculator on now, even though the calculator was built now, but from plans from the future. Yes. What? There's a guy on YouTube, does Brandon's Cult movie reviews, and I messaged him, I said, you have to do Singular Point. I said because he does Godzilla movies, Gamera movies, he does cult movies. Great, great channel. Check him out. Brandon's Cult Movie Reviews. I told him, I said, you need to do Singular Point because your head will explode. Because he gets very frustrated when he's talking about scientific stuff in these cult movies that make no sense. And he literally starts screaming at the movie while he's showing the clip, going, wait a minute, what is this? And I said, I don't expect you to do 13 episodes for each episode, but watch the whole thing and then do the cult movie review as, the 13 episodes. And so I got in this big... Now, normally I don't do Reddit. I go on Reddit because there's some... I have snails. I have aquatic snails. And there's a big aquatic snail group on Reddit where people talk about, how to raise them and how to take care of them. And I joined it because there was nothing else in the internet I found of people who were into raising aquatic snails like I am. So I'm on there. And then, I found out they had a Godzilla group, so I joined that. And I'm in the audiophile group because, I'm into all that. And the podcasting group because I'm into all that. But, I posted this thing on Reddit a couple hours ago saying, I've made it through episode 12 of Singular Point. Episode 13, the series finale, is next week, and I have 25 minutes to wrap up everything, and they're not even close to where I think they're supposed to be. And I said, the animated trilogy is light years ahead of this. And some guy posted, well, get ready for a lot of flack because everybody here thinks the Singular Point is better than the animated trilogy. And I'm like, oh my God, how? So what you need to do is, if you have a Netflix account, watch the Godzilla trilogy. Planet of the Monsters, I forget the name of the other two, Planet Eater and City of something. Those are the three of them. Watch those three in order. Part one, part two, part three. Then wait about a week or whatever. Then watch Singular Point. From episode 1 to episode 13. They're only 20-25 minutes long. You can binge watch them or watch them over a couple of days. And just watch it. Because I guarantee you, you're going to have the same reaction I am. You're going to sit there with your jaw on the floor going, what the hell is this stuff? It's just... It's just... It's kind of like... The David Lynch Dune. Beautiful looking film, wonderful soundtrack, but what the hell was that? The plot was, I don't know. But all right, so this is what I want you to do. This is your homework. Go watch the Godzilla anime trilogy. Then watch the Godzilla animated Singular Point. And then mail me at victimsoffun@mail.com and tell me if you don't agree with me or not, because... apparently I'm in the minority for this, but we're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and maybe we'll talk about something more people be interested in, because I don't know how popular Godzilla is, but I like him. It's my podcast. Be right back. And we're back. Part 2 of Episode 6 of Victims of Fun. How you all doing? Remember, you can mail me at victimsoffun@mail.com. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Just do a quick search for Victims of Fun and look for the blue microphone logo, and you'll see me. And remember, you can listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, Pandora, and other great podcast hosts. And make sure you hit that support button and start throwing me some money, because I don't do this for free. Need the money, so fork it over, because you sure as hell don't need it. So you may watch the Mayweather Logan Paul fight, because I did, and thank God I don't pay for stuff like this. But anyway, it was interesting. Everybody really thought that Mayweather was going to drop Logan Paul in like the second or third round, and to his credit, Logan Paul made it the whole fight. Actually rocked Mayweather a couple times with some really, really good hits. Took a bunch of Mayweather's shots and stood his ground. And he's much bigger than Mayweather. Outweighs him by a lot. He's much bigger physically. And it'd just be interesting to see what that fight would have been like if Logan Paul had actually, trained for a year or two and, actually boxed a few times, and Mayweather was a little bit younger. I've never been a Mayweather fan, really. I mean, I appreciate what he does. I respect the athleticism. He's not Ali. And the fact that he says he's better than Ali, he's lucky Mike Tyson doesn't go to his house and kill him. Because Tyson's very protective over Ali's name and legacy and will literally beat the shit out of you if you disrespect him. Mayweather's not better than Ali. Mayweather, again, I'm not a boxer, so it's kind of like, your armchair quarterback criticizing something Tom Brady's doing, that even though I don't like Tom Brady, I know I can't do what he does. But, Mayweather, he's not Ali. Ali was like the gold standard of boxing. I mean, Ali wasn't even just a boxer. I mean, he wasn't just the greatest boxer that ever lived. He was one of the greatest human beings that ever lived. I mean, I put him in, like, the top 10 tier of people who have lived on this planet, I don't count Jesus, because, Jesus is, just above and beyond. I'm talking, like, normal human people. Gandhi, Buddha, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, Dr. Salk, the man who eradicated polio, those type of people. Oppenheimer, that tier. That's where Ali belongs, in that grouping. And for Mayweather to disrespect Ali by saying he's better than him, No. Mayweather would have been Ali's little training bitch, back in the day. But, I mean, the guy's smart. He made a ton of money. And so did Logan Paul. I mean, I can't stand Logan Paul. I don't like any of those, like, YouTube people. I think they're stupid. And I think the people who give money to people like that are even dumber. Seriously. And it's not even you're too old to understand his comedy or what he's done. No, the guy's just an a-hole. I'm sorry. He just is. And the fact that as a society, we've devolved so much that people will throw money at somebody like that, and that women left and right will just sleep with him because, he's Logan Paul, and even though they know he's a misogynistic idiot, that's what we've devolved into. It's why I just want to, cash out and just go live somewhere peacefully and shut the news off and just sit on a boat or something and just watch the sunset for as many years as I have left. Because I'm just sick of where we are as a society right now. I mean, there's people. All right, I'll give you an example. So Riley Reid is an adult actress. She does porn. She's 20-something. 25, I think? 26? Young. Looks younger than she is. She makes $500,000 a month on her OnlyFans. $500,000 a month. She just bought a condo in L.A., cash, for $2 million, overlooking the city, and it's all from her OnlyFans, $500,000 a month. And I'm thinking to myself, you could literally Google Riley Reid sex and see hundreds of her videos for free of her doing some of the most degenerative, disgusting stuff. And you can see that for free. Why are you throwing $500,000 a month at her when you can just go on Google and see it for nothing if you're really that desperate. No, I don't get that. The girl who danced around in the Bernie Sanders shirt, the Hey Boomer girl, whatever she was, she's getting a lot of flack on social media because she bought a $2 million penthouse from the money she made going viral with that stuff, saying how rich people need to be, you know, taxed into, like, poverty and everything. And people start saying, wait a minute, you were saying that, and now you've got a $2 million penthouse. And she said, well, I meant, like, tax billionaires, not millionaires. But, you know, people still throw money at her. I've seen people on Twitch. You know, there was this girl on Twitch who basically streamed from her bathtub. She'd be taking a bath, and Twitch has a very no nudity thing, so she'd be in a bikini, but it'd be like a flesh colored one, so with the soap bubbles, it looked like she was naked, and she would play games and people would be throwing money at her. Yeah, I mean, what the hell is that? I mean, yeah, okay, fine. They took what they had and they turned it into a profit. Fine. Some people think that's brilliant. I remember getting in a discussion with somebody who said, well, Riley Reid's brilliant. I'm like, how is she brilliant? Well, she took what she had, her body and her lack of morality, and she turned it into a paycheck. I'm like, well, okay, but eventually Riley Reid's going to get old. Riley Reid's going to get fat. Riley Reid's going to get wrinkles. And unless she starts doing fetish old lady porn, that money's going to run out. Because if you talk to any older female adult actress, they will tell you all the same thing. Once you hit a certain age, you don't get parts anymore. Unless you're doing the, you know, MILF type of roles. You know, and it's, the money's going to run out. There's this horrible, horrible girl on YouTube named Ali Spagnola, who's just probably one of the most annoying individuals that's ever existed on the face of the planet. She's an alcoholic. She's a racist. And she makes these stupid, she does this whole thing with some drinking game where she made this drinking game called the Power Hour. And she went to court to sue somebody over the Power Hour thing because she was claiming that she invented it and she owned the name. And the guy was like, well, Power Hour as a term has existed for like God knows how many years, and it, you know, Power Hour was used in bars across this country since the 70s. How are you trying to trademark it? But her trick was, she wasn't trademarking a term, she was trademarking a drinking game that she coined the Power Hour. And what she did was, she took a shot glass and made it into a USB flash drive that would hold her music on it. And they were 30-second songs that you had to take a shot after at listening to each one of them. And that's what she was suing over, saying, well, this is actually... But anyway, she ended up winning. The court case went on for like 6 years. And I don't know if the other guy was just incompetent or just whatever. But she's pushing 40. And she thinks she's still 18. And she pushes herself on people. And she pushes herself into situations and... She's one of those type of comedian people that, you know, you'll be sitting there at a restaurant eating dinner, and suddenly she pulls up a chair, sticks a camera in your face, and starts talking to you just to get a reaction from you for her YouTube channel. And I'm like, well, what the hell is this? Who asked you to be here? You know, I'm trying to have dinner with my wife, or whatever. And that's the type of, that's her shtick. That's what she does. And her other shtick is she never wears shoes that match. And she's claiming she was the first one who did it, but there were people doing that in the 60s all the time. It was a counterculture thing. And And she lives off her Patreon. Now, she has a Patreon. And she has no source of income other than, you know, 90% of it's her Patreon money. And she'll do some comedy gigs. But most of the money is given to her from people. Because she does this thing, like what a lot of YouTube women who have no morals do, is they'll do the whole, like, nudity tease thing, like, oh, am I going to be naked in this or whatever, throw me some money, and she never does. And, so one of the things she did was she, and she doesn't do it anymore, but she would, if you would, her old blog, if you emailed her and asked her to paint you a painting, she would make these really crappy paintings that look like my friend's fifth grader could make, and she would make the painting and send it to you, and it was the only one she would ever make. Like, she didn't make copies, it was an original. You now owned it, this was your painting. Now this is the important thing. This was your painting. There was never another one like it. And you now owned it. This was stated on the thing that you sent to her, that you now own this painting. It was yours. And she did that for the longest time, for like 10 years? Anyway. So recently, she kind of got in a lot of trouble because she took all of the paintings she ever did and put them in an NFT, which is some bullshit scam in the crypto world for digital artwork. And it's a money laundering scam. And it's kind of like modern art in New York, where if you want to do a tax write-off, you get some artist to make some stupid bullshit painting of like a banana peel. And then the artist sells it to you for $500,000. You buy it and you turn around and you donate it. And you use that as a tax write-off. And it's a way to launder money. So she took all the paintings that she ever did and put them in this NFT and tried selling it for $500,000, and went on Twitter and said, oh, I'm selling this thing for $500,000. It's all the paintings I ever did for the, hey, do you want a free painting thing? And it's, I'm going to get $500,000 for it. And of course her fans are like, oh God, that's so great, Allie. But then people started tweeting her, I have one of these paintings, and it was explicitly stated in the thing that we filled out that we own the painting, not you. That once you gave it to us, it was ours. Are you asking permission, or are you going to share the $500,000 with all of the people that you made these paintings for? Because normally, if you create something for somebody as a commission and you give it to them, you have surrendered all your rights to that. Because it's theirs now. And she was trying to pull a fast one to get $500,000, and she got caught on Twitter. Which could have gotten her in a lot of trouble. During the first, during the election of Trump versus Hillary, she actually did a video of her taking some older person, and she's like, oh, wow. And she always calls everybody Pallies. And she's like, hey, Pallies, it's Allie. And we've got this person here. And we're going to take them into a bunch of voting places and see how many times that this person can vote. And the person, she ended up taking this person like 4 different polling stations. The person voted 4 times. And it's on video. And people are saying, wait a minute, that's a violation of federal law. You and this person can go to jail. Like, for a long time. And during the Oscars that Chris Rock hosted a bunch of years ago, she was doing a live tweet of what she was watching at the Oscars, and was doing a play-by-play, I guess, of it. And she goes, and she kept saying, oh, you know, the host was, I don't know if she said the host was Kevin Hart or Eddie Murphy. And somebody said, no, it's Chris Rock. And she said, oh, I can't tell those people apart. Meaning black people. I mean, how friggin' racist is that? But, you know, and this is the type of person that will get money thrown at them because she's very fit. I'll give her that. She works out a lot because she doesn't have a job, and all she does is hang out in the gym all day and work on her core. But, you know, I mean, she's got the face of a 40-year-old because she's pushing 40. She's got the body of, like, a 25-year-old, whatever. Butterface, you know what that means. And you know, she just gets money thrown at her constantly. Like, tons of money. And you know, stuff like that. It's just like, well, you know, whose fault is that? Really? I mean, is it her fault? Or is it the fault of the people who keep throwing her money? Because honestly, you know, people like that, what are you giving them your money for? You should be giving your money to me. Because at least I'm not doing anything stupid, I guess. I mean, I'm just talking. You know, and I'm not going out interrupting people's dinner. I'm not out making racial statements. I'm not out making a fool of myself or harassing people or doing fake bomb pranks, you know, like some of the YouTube people do, and they get millions of dollars from it. And it just goes to show you where society has completely devolved into just stupidity. I mean, you know, we've gone from Lenny Bruce to this crap, you know, and it's horrific. One of the things my mother likes watching is the old Dean Martin roasts, where, you know, they would, and these would take place in the late 60s, early 70s, and, you know, it was Dean Martin, and they would roast somebody, and they'd have all of the stars there, and by stars, I mean real movie stars, like Bob Hope and Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly and, you know, Frank Sinatra, Don Rickles, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. I'm talking like real stars, not like the fake people you have today. So, and you watch these Dean Martin roasts, and I'm sure it went on when they were by themselves without the cameras rolling. But it's nothing racial, nothing sexual, nobody was dropping any F-bombs, it was all good-natured, fun type of thing, and they were the funniest things you ever wanted to see, and it was something that, you know, the kids could watch, because they may not get some of the jokes, because, you know, they were geared more towards the older audience, but they weren't geared towards the older audience as in it was a mature subject matter. It was just touching on things like golf and you know, some political stuff and some older movies that the kids probably be like, oh, what's that reference to golf for? Which, you know, older people back then would have totally gotten the gist of it. And we've gone from that to, like, some of the crap we see. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel, for example. Jimmy Kimmel is the worst. I mean, he's a racist. He's. I mean, this is a guy who was in blackface. This was a guy who was sexually harassing women on his early shows. It's all on video. And he gets a free pass on everything. And, you know, and that is your typical comedian of today. That's your typical comedy show of today. Nobody had the class of Johnny Carson anymore, or Jay Leno, or even David Letterman, whatever you think of his politics. You know, those shows never had any sort of horrifically political. It was just to entertain you. You know, Carson was a big Republican, but he never brought his politics out on the show. He just didn't do it. He just didn't. Most of those guys on the Dean Martin roast were Republican. Some of them were Democrats. They never brought it out in public. Maybe they argued when the cameras are off, or maybe things got raunchy when the cameras are off, but not in front of the camera. Because they didn't want to disrespect the audience, they didn't want to piss the audience off, and they didn't want to make the audience feel uncomfortable. Now you have comics that come out, and the first words out of their mouth are they're dropping F-bombs, or saying the N-word, or they're just making sexual remarks, and so it's a laugh at that. I'm like, no. No, it's bullshit. You know? I mean, It just goes to show you how far we've devolved. And not just comedy. I mean, music and movies and television, even documentaries. Everything has just gotten so lowbrow, so politicized, and so degenerate that there's nothing to enjoy anymore. I mean, they made a... Remember the banana splits? You're growing up, if, you know, I'm going to be 53, and I remember the banana splits. Remember them? Tra-la-la, la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. Remember, there was the four animals. There was the dog, and the lion, and the gorilla, and the elephant. And, you know, it was a really... It almost looked like everybody who worked on that show was on acid, because it was just a trip. But it was a great show for the kids. It had great musical numbers. They'd show cartoons. Very lighthearted. Fantastic. Very harmless little kiddie show that everybody loved. Well, a few years ago, they made a Banana Splits movie. And in the movie, the Banana Splits were psychotic killers, and they were chopping people up. I'm not joking about this. They made a movie called The Banana Splits. And when they announced they were making the movie, everybody was like, oh God, this is going to be great. How are they going to film this? Is it going to be like as visually wacky as the show was? This is going to be fantastic. It's going to be a trip down memory lane. And then it came out, it was a horror film. And in the film, the Banana Splits come to life, and graphically... And I'm not talking... This wasn't done as like a comedy type of thing. This was a seriously disturbing, graphic, gory movie where the killers were the Banana Splits. Now, I want to know how we went from tra-la-la-la-la-la-la to I'm going to take this axe and cut you in half, which is an actual scene in the film. And this just goes to show you what we've devolved into. I mean, it's like taking Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka and turning him into a child molester. You know, and every time a kid gets knocked out of the competition, you know, Willy Wonka goes in the back and molests him. You know, he's there banging Veruca Salt or something. I just, that's what the equivalent was. You know, it's just... You know, if they made Chitty Chitty Bang Bang today, it'd be a Tesla. You know, it's just... It's horrifying. And music. Don't even get me started on music. Because music today is crap. It is absolute... The only good music you're going to find is independent music or punk, if there's anything, any punk left out there. Which I don't even know if there is. And I used to be really into the punk scene. I used to go to Margate, a club called Reds in Atlantic City, and you know, I'd go to Philly, and I saw Gigi Allen, and you know, I was in a mosh pit and everything, and that's all gone. You know, I don't know if there's any punk bands worth anything left anymore. It's kind of like they all died out, like the dinosaurs or something, like a meteorite hit, like, I guess maybe after Dee Dee Ramone died. I mean, I don't know. But all the music nowadays is this stupid hip-hop crap, which isn't even good hip-hop. I mean, you're not talking Public Enemy, NWA, or Grandmaster Flash. I mean, we're talking, I don't even know who these guys are, and you won't know the song a week later, and you won't know the artist after a year, after the record company uses them and discards them. You know, nobody's going to know who these people are. You know, when did The Struggle come out by Grandmaster Flash? 78? And people still remember it? You know, Straight Outta Compton, when did that come out? People are still talking about. You know, Fight the Power, when did that come out? People are still talking about. You turn on any of the urban hip-hop stations now, in 2 years, nobody's going to know who the hell those people are that are being played. Because it's all crap now. You know, it's just absolutely horrible. There's no real heavy metal anymore. I mean, even the ones that have stuck around, Foo Fighters, still plugging along. They don't even make anything memorable anymore. It's just, they're resting on their laurels. Aerosmith, I was never a big Aerosmith fan, but I respect what they did in the past. But they've been coasting on their laurels for forever. I mean, the Who haven't recorded anything in since 1987. The Stones keep putting out stuff once in a while, and some of it's really good. But, you know, it's obvious they're slowing down and they're coming to the end. I mean, once the Stones are gone, it's kind of like, eh, God, there's nothing left. I mean, Prince is gone, David Bowie's gone, Robert Palmer's gone. You know, Zeppelin is gone. You know, Pink Floyd's, you know, they're gone. They're not making anything new. They're all doing their... I don't even think David Gilmour records anymore. And Roger Waters turned into some bitter old man. And there's nobody left. There's nobody left. You know, who's left? Even country music, you know, it's turning into crap. Like, okay, and let me tell you something. Florida Georgia Line. Can't stand them. That's all they, you know, I did. I played them in Florida a lot. I can't stand them. I honestly, Florida Georgia Line to me are like the worst things in country music. I mean, you know what I hate? YouTube now has new algorithm where YouTube ad blocker, which is a program you can get an extension on your Chrome or Safari or whatever, blocks out the ads from YouTube. Because YouTube is putting ads on everybody's videos, even if you specifically say, I don't want ads on my videos. And the ads I've been getting for the past month are all the stupid T-Mobile commercial with Florida Georgia Line. And if it's like I didn't hate them enough before, I want to run them over with my car now, is how much I hate them, because of the stupid commercial. You know, that's why we're excited to join T-Mobile. Click. I can't stand them. There was some song they always used to play. I don't know who sang it. Might have been Florida Georgia Line. Deep End of a Dive Bar. How the lyrics go? Good to spend the weekend in the deep end of a dive bar. I mean, you know, come on. If you're that depressed where you have to drink the whole weekend away, you really need to see a psychiatrist. I mean, seriously. You know, and if you're a big enough dumbass that you're an alcoholic where your woman takes off, you know, buddy, that's on you, you know. You know, maybe you should get your own shit together and then you wouldn't have to write a song about it. You know, maybe if you just didn't hit her or didn't sleep with her sister or didn't come home drunk all the time or didn't, like, spend all your money on a four-wheeler because you had to have one, maybe she wouldn't have left you. Maybe you wouldn't be living in a single wide in Lake Panasoffski. By the way, that's a real white trash meth town in Florida. You know, maybe... maybe your life would be better if you just weren't acting like such a butthole. But nope, that's the plot of every country song, you know? I could write a country song probably in 20 minutes. All I have to do is talking about my wife leaving me, losing my job, my dog dying, and my truck getting repossessed. You know, that'd be it. That'd be it. That's pretty much every country music song. Or talking about drinking, you know? I think the last good country song I heard was God's Country. God, I hope Florida Georgia Line didn't do that. There was another song, country song I heard I liked. I don't know who sang it. I should look it up. The lyrics are something like, if you thought it looked good in black and white, you should have seen it in color. And I think he was talking about Vietnam. I think he was talking about the Vietnam War. And, anyway. I don't know. Never been a country music fan. Now, old country. Hank Williams Sr. You know, Roger Miller. Willie Nelson. Johnny Cash. Yeah. This new stuff. Florida Georgia Line. Yeah, my God. Ugh. Spare me. Oh, well. Anyway, so, we're at the end of our allotted time. I want to thank y'all for listening to me rant and rave about stuff that you probably have no interest in, but whatever, it's my podcast. You don't like it, kiss my ass. If you want to mail me, you can mail me at victimsoffun@mail.com. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just got to look for the Victims of Fun. Just type that in the search thing. You can listen to us on Anchor and Spotify and Pandora and many other hosts from Google. Hosts for podcasts. Google is one of them. Remember to hit that support button and send me money so I can get a pair of those Blue Ella headphones. And there you go. And hope you enjoy your week. And remember to love one another, because this is one planet and one people. Take care. See you in a couple days.